Okay, because I'm going to open this and see if we can even hear it.
Okay. Do you, I was going to, yeah.
Okay, we can do both, and that way we have multiple.
Oh. That was a good one.
That was a good one, too.
That was a good one.
Look at that. We can have multiple.
Ooh. Bop, bop.
Sipping on Sondheim while belting a Bordeaux, pairing the best wines and picking the next show. Here, Broadway guests and us acting like loons. This you can find here on Tennyson Tunes. When Ben Bradley cries, when the fight dies, whether June's or moon, I simply turn to my favorite thing, and they are a
Welcome to Tannins and Tunes. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jimmy. Hi, friends. Hi, moms.
Hi, friends. Hi, moms. Jimmy, it's the new year.
It's the new year. Happy Yay. New year. We're in the
Happy
future.
We're in the future. Okay, listeners, just a little behind the scenes. We're recording this real early.
Yeah, we were recording real early. We recorded this in 2017 before we even started the podcast.
I wish. Well, we are pretending that we are in the future and pretending that we had a great Christmas holiday, which I'm sure that we both did.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. Everything happened, and I was in no fights with any family members.
Me neither. Well, because we are both traveling on New Year's or around New Year's this year, we decided to do this a little bit early, but we're still going to give you a great episode of Wines and Show Tunes.
So what we're going to talk. The show was called Wines and Show Tunes.
I feel like people would understand it a little bit more. Because sometimes people don't understand what tannins are.
I didn't understand what it was.
And so my alliteration makes no sense, and they don't know what the show is about.
Wine and musical numbers from musicals that you've seen on Broadway or and any kind of wine, like a red or a white or a Moscato. This is the title.
It's a great title. Adding it now.
Great. Guys, welcome back to Wine and blah, 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 whatever I just said.
Yep. Today we are going to look at a champagne, which is super exciting to celebrate the new year. And then we're going to take a look back at the past season, at 2018, and the shows that opened and closed on Broadway and things that will close in this new season and things that will open in 2019 that we're really, really excited for. So, Jimmy, let's go ahead and get started.
Let's go ahead and get started.
Today, we have a really fantastic champagne. It's from France, from the Champagne region. So it's the Mailly Champagne Grand Cru. So Mailly spelled M-A-I-L-L-Y.
You're getting better at that.
I have been working on my French.
You got on that Duolingo?
Oh, yeah. So let's talk a little bit what Grand Cru means. So when we say Cru, C-R-U, that means that it is from the Champagne region and from the AOC, which is what we call the region in France that makes champagne. Premier Cru is a little bit above that. Only 44% of champagne makers in Champagne are Premier Cru. And then an even smaller number than that are known as Grand Cru. So only 17 of the 319 villages have that Grand Cru status.
Oh. Does that make sense? Sure. Yeah. So, it's like summa cum laude and magna cum laude. And
exactly. That's exactly what it's like.
Right.
So this is the summa cum laude of champagne, which is pretty cool.
It is? Oh, wow.
And what's really cool about this, about Mailly, is that it's a co-op, actually. So it's a bunch of different people coming together to make this wine, to make this champagne.
Right, and none of them knew what they were doing when it happened.
They kind of knew what was happening because they decided to found this Mailly Grand Cru when it was named as a Grand Cru Village in 1920. And so in 1929, they decided to put this together. But the world was going through this financial crisis. And so a bunch of these houses, these big champagne houses, weren't buying grapes because of the economic situation. And so six winemakers in this village came together to form this co-op.
What?
And so, yeah. So after the co-op started making its first couple of wines, they started digging the caves to store the bottles. And so underground in this village is all of these different caves that they dug by hand. And it took 35 years to complete that first kilometer of caves.
What? Isn't that now? I don't know how time works.
It took a pretty long time. And its total production is today about 500,000 bottles, and they have 25 growers in 35 different vineyards that contribute to the champagne.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. But the grapes come from this one area where it has kind of a chalky soil and this hillside that has plenty of exposure to the sun, and they grow both Pinot and Chardonnay that make up the champagne.
That's amazing.
I know, that's a lot of info, but champagne has a lot of info that comes with it.
Champagne has a lot of guys, if you don't know, champagne has a lot of info that comes with it, and, like, there's a lot of things that need to be said, and, like, it's the best.
I mean, I could go all into, like, the malolactic fermentation and the difference between a first run or a second run and a third run of the juice.
I just want to know how they get those bubbles in them.
All sorts of different ways. I'll just leave it at that.
Do you remember the cartoon show Pinky and the Brain?
Yeah.
Do you ever think that we're Pinky in the Brain right now? Like, you're the brain because you're very smart and you know things, and I'm Pinky, and I'm just like, hey, that's nice. And also you're the brain because you're just like, ugh, I guess I'll have to deal with this guy.
I mean, I do think that that's how we should dress up for our time at Broadway Con on January 11th.
Yeah. Pinky in the Brain.
Pinky in the Brain. Here we go. Okay, so let's go ahead and smell this.
All right.
Ooh, yes. This is why I love champagne. Ugh, I love it.
I love it.
It smells so oaky and like wheat toast.
Ooh, okay.
Because it has that like brioche or like that biscuity type of thing to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. There is something. Is it in our like collective consciousness as like advertising or shows, or just like, I don't know, or is it just so good because like champagne, just like when you open a bottle, it just feels more festive. It feels good. It feels special, you know?
It does feel special. Well, I think that it does come back to the fact that when you call something champagne, that, and especially a Grand Cru, like we're tasting today,
yeah,
like that means so much. It means that it is from a tiny, like 1% or less than 1% of a location,
right,
of different people that make sparkling wines.
Right. If you don't know, I'm again specifically talking to my mother. Champagne, and this is like the only wine thing that I know, the only like wine info that I know, is that like champagne is like the Band-Aid of like sparkling wine. When we think of champagne, we think of all sparkling wines, but it's not. It's sort of just like a brand name, you know, because it's specifically from that region of France, Champagne. You know?
Exactly. And then when we call it Grand Cru, that means that it's like 20-some-odd% of the villages in that Champagne region are labeled as Grand Cru. And then if you have something that says Cuvée on it, it means that it's the first run of the juice from the grapes from that special region from Champagne.
Oh, my goodness. And so, then if you have a star on it, you can grab it and you can put it on. And, like, then that means it's ultra great, you know.
So it's pretty cool. cool to be drinking something that's Grand Cru, and then if you can get a cuvee of that, it's even better. This wine in particular actually got a 91 from Wine Spectator, 91 points. And so it did really, really well with critics and with people who are doing the rating. And I can definitely see why just by smelling it. You can smell that it has a structure to it and that it just smells a little expensive, right?
Yeah, it does. You know, it smells like you're a fancy pants.
And it does smell like your fancy pants.
Yeah. And I have my fancy pants on to wear, to drink it.
Good. So just a reminder for people drinking champagne, this is a blend of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, and it's 75% Pinot Noir and 25% Chardonnay. Why doesn't it look red?
Why doesn't it look red?
Because we take the skins off. We don't press with the we just get the juice. We aren't letting it sit in the skins.
Okay, so it's not like salmon, in which salmon is actually like gray and then like manufacturers like inject pink coloring into it.
Nope.
Yeah. Also, that's what you do with salmon. Like
remember that the juice of all grapes are white. All juice is white. Now, how do we get red wine? It's by letting the juice sit with those tannins and the skins and the stems and the leaves.
Wow. I will never remember that.
Okay, let's go ahead and taste. Tiny, tiny bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
High acid. Long finish, but has like a medium plus finish. This is really what I appreciate about this champagne in particular compared to the Paul Roger that we did last year.
Yeah.
That one was super biscuity and super yeasty. This one is a lot more fruity, but it has a lot of citric acid to it. So a lot of like pineapple, red apple, strawberry in it.
Mm-hmm. Listeners, you can't see, but also Jessica has a cornucopia of fruit in her wine glass right now, including one gigantic uncut pineapple. It's taking the majority of the...
sitting in the wine glass.
Just, how sweet is it to you?
You know, it's not sweet when I think of, like, a candy.
Okay.
But it is, like, it is very similar to a red apple. When I bite into a red apple...
yes.
Very, very similar sweetness level.
So you're saying a glass of this a day will keep the doctor away?
I mean, it's proven true for me.
Jessica, your liver is shot.
It keeps the doctor away. I don't go to the doctor.
Yeah, because I'm so drunk that I can't drive to the doctor.
There we go. So, again, like toasty characteristic, bready notes, rich red fruit along with that lemon and even a little bit of herbaceous quality to it.
Ooh, I love an herbaceous quality. I love a little like – I was even talking about this recently to a friend about coffee. And I had grabbed
one
that was more chocolatey in notes, and I thought this was the one I was going to like, and one that was, like, more herbaceous, more, like, earthy and spicy, and I really enjoyed, like, the savory, spicy herb coffee more than the other one.
Well, what's cool about this wine, too, is that it honestly has a little bit of, like, tea flavor in it.
Yeah.
Or, like, some jasmine, that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
Really, really cool, which you don't find in a lot of wines, especially out of like Sauvignon Blanc or even some unoaked Chardonnays. You can kind of get that in there. But you put that together with the bready and the yeasty notes of this, and you get a really nice, light, moussey structure to it. We were talking about in our Christmas episode that the velvety tannins of the duckhorn kind of mellowed it out a little bit too much, in my opinion. But because this has bubbles, that moussey quality keeps it from getting too acidic and too aggravating to the palate.
Yeah.
Tiny, tiny little bubbles.
I love the tiny, tiny bubbles. They're so good. Though I think there is something in me that would love just like gigantic bubbles. Just humongous, like, pockets of air.
Then drink some seltzer.
Yeah. Can we get we do have alcoholic seltzer, but can we get, like, seltzer bubbles in a champagne?
You can. That's how a lot of mid- or lower-tiered champagnes are actually made, is by CO2 being pumped into the wine instead of it being done through a natural process.
That's all I want.
You can get that.
Oh, yeah. Did we talk about this? I think we talked about this in a podcast. I can't take a white wine and put it into my soda machine and make champagne.
I mean, I guess you could technically.
Here's the caveat. I do it in the region of champagne.
Then yes, then definitely.
Then I can call it champagne. I take everything, go over there.
Yep. Okay, Jimmy, let's talk a little bit about this past season on Broadway. So I sent you, we're dealing with some notes here just so we can make sure that we're on, that we don't forget anything. Let's take a look at some of the things that have opened this year, some of the things that you're excited about seeing in this next season, and some of the stuff that's closing on Broadway.
Wonderful.
So I think the first thing that I was excited to see open and that is closing in 2019 is Head Over Heels. We did an episode about this with Taylor Jones, and she was so cool in the show and in talking.
Super friend of the pod.
Super friend of the pod.
She's been on twice now.
Yeah, multiple time guest.
And multiple time guest, like, in the future. Like, she's great. Big things are happening for Taylor. Like,
yep, exactly.
I can't wait. I am sad that this is closing, you know? Mm-hmm. It was very good. And I know it holds a special place in her heart, and you can tell in our episode that it does.
Yeah.
But I know that, like, special things are coming down her pipeline, like, in the future.
Yes. Well, and I think that for people who might not be in New York, this is going to be a show that does well on tour. It's going to be a show that does well in regional theaters and in colleges and in high schools. It's going to be a show that we hear about for a long, long time.
If you're a college that, like, does Shakespeare and musicals, you know, and maybe even one that, where it's like a West Side Story sort of, like, Shakespeare's better than musicals and musicals better than Shakespeare, like, this is the musical for you, and this is the musical that's going to bring everybody together.
I would love to see this show at TCU where I teach, because we do. We do both Shakespeare plays and we do musicals every semester.
Do you have a gang of Shakespeare people and a gang of musical people?
No, you know what? Our program is really good about having people cross over. There were people in the musical theater program that were in the Shakespearean show. There were people who were in our acting program that were in Bear this past semester.
Yeah.
So I think that this, like you just said, like, it's going to be a great show for colleges, and especially those who want their kids to have a well-rounded education and a well-rounded point of view on life.
it's such a well-rounded point of view. Yeah, it's so poignant and now, and what's funny about it is it's set in, like, a fantastical past, if you will, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. One of the shows that I am excited to see when I am in New York for Broadway Con and for another conference is Lifespan of a Fact with Daniel Radcliffe and Bobby Cannavale. I am so excited to see that, especially because it's closing in January on the 13th. And so I'm really excited to see that before it closes.
That seems to be really what I will not be able to see it, I don't think, but, like, it looks good.
Let's talk about the three long-running musicals that are closing this spring. So we see School of Rock closing on the 13th.
You
always talk, talk, talk all the time. You never let me get in a word. I wish I had a dime for every thought I swallowed on earth. No matter what it is that I do.
Right. Or I thought it was 20th.
It might be.
Yeah, it's semantics.
Yeah, one of those dates.
One of those dates.
That is going to be pretty insane because it's been running for a while now.
It's been running for a while. And you know what? I think this is going to sound insulting or like, but it's like, I think, but it's absolutely positive in my intention. It's like, I think it wasn't, we didn't think it was going to run as long as it
No, did. It defied expectations. It definitely defied expectations. And I don't know how much of that was due to the fact that Andrew Lloyd Webber and the producing team could keep it open when it was falling a little short.
Maybe, yeah.
That a lot of these shows don't have the luxury of being able to hold on through the slow times. That if their numbers drop, they have to close because they just aren't getting the funds.
Right.
Whereas production company can keep things open a little bit longer and wait until the next wave.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see what goes into the Winter Garden, though, because that's a really fun theater.
Yeah. Okay. We know what's going into the Winter Garden, right?
We do?
I thought in your notes it was Beetlejuice.
Oh, you're totally right. You're totally right. I completely forgot.
These were your notes. All right.
I know.
Hey, friends, I am the best student of Jessica. All right.
Hey.
Also, guys, at me if you want students of hers. At me if you want, you know, the test answers. I will totally give them to you. All right, just enter that Jimmy fan club. All right.
Yes, Jimmy fan.
I just want you. I just want people
to
like me.
We gotta get you a Patreon, Jimmy.
We got a Jimmy fan club Patreon.
Yes.
At tier 5, you get test answers.
Yes. You know what? At this point, I go for it. So yes, Beetlejuice is opening with Friend of the Pod.
Friend of the Pod.
Elliot.
Yes.
Awesome.
Oh, we gotta get them. We gotta get them back on. We gotta get Equity One back on.
Well, when they're not busy
when they're not busy being on Broadway and being fabulous.
Yeah.
You know.
So Beetlejuice is going to be super exciting moving into the Winter Garden Theater. They did have their production in DC and got some interesting reviews. So I'm interested to see what they do in changing the script and honing it a little bit more based on those reviews.
Right.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting.
But it'll be fun. I think I have a very different view about movies turned into musicals than most people have. And
yeah?
I think people are like, it's the, you know, it's bad and it's blah 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 blah, blah for what. And I think it's so much fun. I think definitely like with Mean Girls, it's like a chance to expand on the story. You know,
yeah.
I think we forget sometimes that nothing's original. I think we forget sometimes that even Oklahoma was based off of a book. Like,
right.
You
right.
know, but it's a chance for us to rework, to expand, to see it in a new light. You know,
definitely. I 100% agree. Kinky Boots is closing.
What am I gonna do? I am not gonna do anything.
Where are you gonna work?
I maybe Frozen. I don't know.
So, friends, Jimmy spent a lot of time at the Al Hirschfeld Theater.
I spent a lot of at the Al Hirschfeld Theater. I mean, it was mainly like stalking Lola. You know, Jay Harrison. Just being like, what are you doing? Like, I got a job just so I could stalk Jay Harrison. I did not. Please don't tell God, I want to keep my job.
That was a joke.
Oh, God. And then it was like later, it's just like, Jimmy, you can't work here anymore.
Well, this show has been running for over 5 years, and it's going to be closing April 7th.
Right. Again, I think as well it defied expectations.
Yeah.
I know. And yes, it had an all-star creative team. Jerry Mitchell, Harvey Fierstein, Cyndi Lauper, of which, I've had so many people like ask me if Cyndi Lauper was in the show today.
Oh man!
Of course, my favorite was just like, so Cyndi Lauper helped her friend do this show, right? Like she like helped. I was like, Cyndi Lauper composed the music, like everything about it. And they went, yeah, they helped.
Right. I had somebody write in a paper about Frozen. They were saying that they were talking about Idina Menzel, and they were like, yeah, and she sings and she wrote the music for Frozen. Like, well, no, you did not pay attention to class.
You did not. You don't even have to pay attention to class. You just have to, like, I don't know, watch the movie. I don't know.
Right.
Oh, Jeffrey, you did it again.
Right. The other big, long-running show that's closing is Avenue Q in their off-Broadway production.
Right. I thought that was when I saw that, I was flabbergasted.
I know.
I thought they were going to live forever, honestly.
I did too. Well, I think a lot of these long-running off-Broadway shows are finally just seeing, okay, how are we going to make money? Is this worth it?
Right.
Like, are we making the amount of money that we could? Is this really plausible?
It? Well, what's funny is, like, Avenue Q, regional theaters are doing it.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that that is totally playing into it. Also, we're seeing shows like Marvelous Wonderette's Close, which has been on off-Broadway for a while.
Yeah.
So I think that these off-Broadway shows are just, they're like, you know what? Tides are changing.
It's time. Yeah, well, to be honest, time. I think like Marvelous Wonderette, I think I love Marvelous Wonderette's. I love Forever Plaid. But they feel more of like, they don't feel...
They don't feel off-Broadway.
They feel like regional. They feel like a good, you know. Like, you know,
I think now that we have so many great regional theaters that are doing really good work.
Yeah.
That we just haven't had for a while.
Right.
Yeah. Also, another thing that's closing with a friend of the pod in it is Donna Summer. Looking for some hot stuff, baby. Summer,
yes. Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. I think the thing that I'm most sad about, the show that I'm most sad about that is closing in the spring, is Once on This Island.
Yeah.
I loved that production. I think that Hayley Kilgore is so incredible.
I haven't yet to see it.
You need to
And I
go.
Might see it tonight, honestly.
Go see it. Go do it. It's so incredible. And so Michelle T. Williams is...
Oh, Michelle Williams from the recent Venom and, you know, super movie star?
No. Not that one. But she is... she was supposed to be playing... Leia Salonga's part, but now Leia Salonga is back in it because the doctor said that Michelle T. Williams couldn't continue to do the show.
Oh.
This is the Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child, by the way.
What?
Yeah. So she was doing Once on This Island. But now, if you see tonight, you can see Leia Salonga, and this is the role that she originated. Yeah. In the revival.
In the revival. Yes. Can I tell you, I know we're talking about things that have had a very long shelf life, like,
yeah.
you know, can I tell you about something that I enjoyed that had a very short shelf life this year?
Yeah,
getting the band back together.
I didn't get to see it because it was not in my timeline.
It was very short.
Tell me about it.
It was so good. I mean, to be honest, I mean, the here's like the quick personal story. We're like figuring out what are we going to do with today? And we like entered a bunch of lottos, and one of them was the Be More Chill off Broadway lotto. And, mm-hmm. And then somebody, my friend got tickets to getting the band back together. And then I won Be More Chill tickets. And we were just like, well, Be More Chill is going to come to Broadway. We already knew this. So we're going to go see getting the band back together.
Hey.
It's like, and it was the best decision we ever made. It was super fun. It was super funny. It sort of like broke the fourth wall. Mary Lou Henner as the mom came out during intermission to like pass out Rice Krispie treats to the audience.
Oh, that's adorable.
You know, there was a person who was, she was an ensemble member and she dressed as like a hawker, you know, to
that's
think
amazing.
That, you know, it's like they're bleeding the line between the theater and the show. And it was so much fun. It was so funny. It was a comedy, like a comedy you would see in a musical, you know, like a Will Ferrell comedy turned into a musical, you know, but an entirely original idea, you know.
Well, and Manu, who was my Mr. Holland in Mr. Holland's Opus, played Robbie in that show.
Shut up.
Yeah, and then we have, I mean, Tamika Lawrence, who was in Come From Away, was in it. J. Elaine Marcos, I mean, my kids at TCU know J. Elaine Marcos now because of Every Little Step.
Yes.
So there are some, like, really great people involved in it.
Everyone's...
And so even though it had only a two-month run, I think that people in it should be proud. And
they should absolutely be proud. And I think that, like, I hope, you know, because sometimes these things can get, like, lost in the ether. But I mm-hmm. hope and I think that this will have a good life, like, regionally. I think it
oh, yeah.
It says... Because also, it's super cheap. It's super easy to, like, produce, you know?
Yeah. The show that I think that will... I am surprised that it has stayed open this long, and we will see how much longer it goes.
It's Ruben and Clay's Christmas show.
That has an end date.
It should be open-ended. I don't care. I would love to see I will see them do anything... Okay, May, you want to see Ruben and Clay's Christmas show? Done.
Pretty Woman is what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I want this feeling to go away. When I think about where I was yesterday, it's so amazing. I can't believe that a billionaire would care about a girl like me. I got money to spend. I got champagne.
Surprised that they stayed open this long, only because of the reviews and things that I have read.
Right.
I haven't been able to see it yet.
Well, good. Andy Kroll, you.
Right.
You need some boo.
So I will be interested to see how long. That continues.
Can I say something? And can I be terrible?
Okay.
I've never seen the movie.
Jimmy, when I'm there in January, we'll watch the movie.
Okay. Friend of the pod, Denzel Edmondson, hates me right now.
He does.
Yeah.
Did you know, I'm sure you know, but for our listeners and for anybody that does not know, that Springsteen is going to be on Netflix?
I did, but I forgot. That's great. Yes.
Yeah. So after it closes on Saturday, December 15th, literally that night, right after the show is done, it will be uploaded to Netflix.
Will it be that show? Because
no, I think that they filmed a bunch of them.
Okay, because what's so beautiful about that show, what's so beautiful and fun and funny is it started out as a, like, 90-minute one act. Mm-hmm. And over time, it turned into, like, a 2-hour, 2.5-hour
show. Oh, yeah. It's a 2.5-hour show with no intermission.
With no intermission. It's just, like, stay where you are.
Right?
But it's also, yeah.
Well, and speaking of a show that is one of those things that just kind of develops throughout each night is Celebrity Autobiography.
What in the world? I have not heard of this.
So it's,
I'm
it's
terrible. Actually,
it's closing on December 17th, so next week. But it's one of those shows where it has, like, Rachel Dratch in it and Eugene Pack and, like, great comedians.
What?
Who are it's this ensemble who are portraying all of these celebrities, but they do a different show every night.
Whoa. How do they do it?
Basically, well, it's basically an improv show with, like,
okay.
It's a scripted improv.
Yeah.
So they have, like, a structure. But I've heard great things.
I can bet. Oh, so Rachel Dratch needs to be in everything.
Yes,
She needs a thriving movie career. She needs to be in Kinky Boots. She needs to be in The Lion King. You know, if anything else, just being the baby that is held up, like...
Yes. Well, I'm thinking that, as I'm thinking about that show, and I'm thinking about Mike Birbiglia, his show, and Bruce Springsteen, that what we are seeing as a trend on Broadway today is these shows that don't cost a lot of money to produce,
right,
but can get big crowds and can get people into the theater that wouldn't normally come and see a show.
Right. I mean, so, Mike Birbiglia's show, which is amazing, by the way, and if you can see it, you should see it, is ostensibly a stand-up set.
Yeah.
But it's also...
So it's people who enjoy stand-up are coming to the theater.
Yes. It's stand-up, it's... and it's also storytelling.
Storytelling, yeah.
But that's how Mark Birbiglia does it. I screwed up his first name. I didn't screw up his... I said Mark Birbiglia just then. Everybody just let you know. I screwed up his... The easiest part to not screw up.
So I think that we're seeing this trend of trying to get people into the theater who wouldn't normally come to the theater. Bruce Springsteen fans, Mike Birbiglia fans.
Right.
All these people who wouldn't come and see a musical, but they'll come and see that, and then maybe they will come and see a musical because they're comfortable going to the theater now. They've done it once. They understand it.
Right.
They get that it's a fun night out.
It's like Rent, which is like has been the gateway musical for a lot of, like, it was a gateway musical for a lot of my friends, you know, growing up. Come to Broadway!
The show that I have already gotten tickets for and I'm so ready to see is The Prom.
I don't have tickets for it.
I am just so excited. I love Bob Martin. I saw him. I mean, he's the same guy who wrote Jazzy Chaperone, but I saw him as the MC for this thing at Encore, and I think that he's so funny, and he writes things so, so well, and Casey Nicholaw is just brilliant, and everybody who's in the show is so good. I'm very ready.
Didn't know Bob Martin wrote this.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, Jazzy Chaperone might be hands down my favorite contemporary musical.
It is one of the most well-written shows.
It's brilliant and hilarious, and I want to see the old version where it was really raunchy.
The stag party
version? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I know that this was like one of our first episodes, but for listeners who maybe didn't listen to that episode, remember...
Because I was in it.
Right. Remember that the Jazzy Chaperone was written for a bachelor party that... Bob Martin was Robert Martin, get it? Because the character's name is Robert Martin. That he was marrying the real-life Janet Vandergraaff, and he had a bunch of friends who were in theater, and they wrote the dress. Well, he helped write it too, but they initially wrote some things, the ideas that became the Drowsy Chaperone as his bachelor party performance that they did for him. Which is really funny.
It's so funny and so cute, and I love it. And there was apparently like a huge spit take thing that was even more crazy.
I love it. So I'm very excited to see that when I am in town. I think the biggest thing that we have to talk about for next season is Be More Chill.
Now I'm just Michael in the bathroom. Michael in the bathroom at a party. Forget how long it's been. I'm just Michael in the bathroom. Michael in the bathroom at a party. No, you can't come in. I'm waiting it out till it's time to leave, and picking at grout as I softly grieve. I'm just Michael, who you don't know. Michael flying solo. Michael in the bathroom by himself.
Yeah, speaking of.
It's happening.
Right, I'm so excited.
I'm very excited as well. I have been listening to the old cast recording, and I'm ready for it. I'm ready to see what they do with the set and the special effects. I'm ready for that.
I think it's great, and I think it's also wonderful. I think it's a great trend towards what we've been doing with just like Dear Evan Hansen, and things like that. It's like we are giving new voices and original ideas and new thoughts a chance, and they're succeeding.
And Joe Iconis, who has been working for years and years and years and years, and this is a huge break, which is incredible.
I'm so excited for it.
Kiss Me, Kate is going to be on Broadway with friend of the pod, Christine Cornish Smith.
I'm so excited for that.
That's going to be super fun. Kelly O'Hara playing the lead role. It's going to be beautiful. I am not the biggest Kiss Me, Kate fan because I think that it's too long, in my opinion.
Neither
and it kind of goes on crazy tangents. But I'm excited to see what Scott Ellis does with it and maybe revamps it for this new time, because I think that it's also a little sexist.
It's definitely a little sexist, yeah. I mean, but that's also it's not Kiss Me, Kate's fault. It's Tammy and the Shrew's fault.
Yeah. But I'm excited to see what they do with it.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I mean, I had always thought that there was, maybe this was my wide-eyed ideal gem, you know, like, I thought there was a little, like, romance and love, and, like, they actually did see eye to eye, you know, so that it wasn't her just, like, at the end, it wasn't her just, like, bowing down, it was them reaching a conclusion and maybe pulling one over on everybody. But that's a tangent for another time, maybe.
Well, Kiss Me, Kate. So I always have to remind myself that Kiss Me, Kate was based on real people, right?
Right.
So yes. It was based on the Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontaine. So the Lunt Fontaine Theater is named after them.
What?
Yeah. And they're a real husband and wife acting team from the, like, 1920s and 1930s. Uh-huh. And so we have to remember that and even the Spiewak, who were the Bella Spiewak and Samuel Spiewak, who were writing the script for Kiss Me, Kate, were also married. And so at the core of it, it really does come from a place of love and a place of two people that really care about each other, but who are also having marital issues. Like, the Lunt Fontaine battles were iconic. I mean, these were people who would literally, like, walk out of shows because they were mad at the other person. And the Spiewaks were also having these marital troubles at the time when they were writing the musical. So it's coming from a place of love, but it's also people that are mad at each other, like really mad at each other.
I love it. Can we talk? Okay, so I don't know if do you like amusement parks?
Yeah,
I mean,
I used to work at an amusement park.
Yeah, who doesn't love an amusement park? So I listen to an amusement park podcast, And and these kids who like live in LA, so they like go there all the time. So their biggest idea of a of like the best day ever is when a ride shuts down and they have to escort them
through the thing.
Yeah, through like the back doors and alleys. You know, it's like, which is funny because like most everybody just wants to like enjoy the ride. You know?
Yeah.
But like, I think for us, something like that would that's our musical equivalent. I would love to see a show with the Luntfontaines and that one of them leaves the stage.
Right. One of them is like, I'm done.
And you're just like, oh, it happened. It happened. And then you can like tell your friends.
Right.
I saw the one.
100% agree.
Where she threw a shoe at him, you know?
Right.
And then he.
Well, I am interested to see where Scott Ellis goes with that, because I wouldn't be surprised if he threw some of that stuff in there.
I love it.
And also another Scott Ellis show that's coming to Broadway is Tootsie.
What? Scott Ellis is that too?
Yeah, Scott Ellis is directing it.
Scott Ellis, you got so much on your plate, boo. You're good.
He's real busy. And David Yazbek wrote the music and lyrics for it, which I love David Yazbek.
I love David Yazbek.
Yeah, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, some really fun stuff. And that is where Santino Fontana has been instead of being on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Instead of being on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, except hasn't he been on, he was on, I haven't watched it, but I read that he is on one.
On
a recent episode?
Oh, I'm not.
Yeah, you and me both. Don't at us, people. Don't spoil it, because I'm really scared for her to be like, hey, I slept with your dad.
Well, and Lily Cooper is also going to be in Tootsie. Remember her from SpongeBob earlier this year.
Yay.
Yeah. Oh, SpongeBob. I was so sad that it closed, honestly.
I watched it. It was amazing. It was so good. It was a
That was one of their shows this past season that really, really surprised me.
Yeah. That's one of the shows that, like, in my mind, really, like, utilized theater and what theater can do in the best possible way, you know?
Yeah.
I know that we're trying to, like, pare down in terms of production, but, like, it was able to do a lot of, like, there was definitely, like, suspension of disbelief and verisimilitude in which we constructed these things, and then we just said, this is what it is, and you just went, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's this, you know, interlocking thing of pipes is a giant mountain, you know?
Yes, exactly.
And I think that
Tina Landau is so incredible and should be directing even more things, because she's so creative.
She should be everything.
Yeah. Is there anything else this season that you're really excited about?
I think, speaking of Be More Chill and things that are coming to Broadway, which I think might be a little surprise for you. I don't know. The St. Anne's Warehouse of Oklahoma is coming.
Chicks and ducks and geese that scurry. When I take you out in the Surrey, when I take you out in the Surrey with the fringe on top. Watch that fringe.
It's coming to Broadway, which I'm
gonna be great.
So excited for. I was really disappointed that I didn't get to see it when it came.
Well, this is so weird. I was sitting next to somebody at a wedding who was in it. And and we were just chatting about it, and I was like, oh man, I wish that I could have seen it, but it happened right in that time when I was gone.
Right in the period.
And I have heard such great things, not only from the girl who was in it, but also just from reviews and people that have seen it, that I'm so excited that it's getting this chance on Broadway. It's going to be totally new and different.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for this new generation of Broadway goers who are going to be excited about something changing.
Yeah, I hope. Hey, make all of your kids go see it.
I can't do that. Because we live in Texas.
At least make Jeffrey do it, all right? Here's yeah, your,
Jeffrey's definitely doing it.
Here's your extra credit, Jeffrey.
Right. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
Now that we've got some wine in us, we're going to play games right now.
Now that we've got some wine in us, we're going to play games right now. We should just, like, record it and we just, should. Like, have it, you know?
We should.
Again, let's get Skrillex to produce.
Ready. Okay, Jimmy, I am going to let you in this new year.
Oh, golly, I'm in charge.
Okay. You're going to give me the game.
Wait, what? That's not what it is. What? I can't even...
Did I send you the wrong thing?
You did send me... You did. But take care of which Broadway song speaks most to your inner truth, right? But then I saw something...
Yes.
Then I saw something which is an ad, which is, which show tune would best describe you to your therapist? And I was like, I don't think that's what we want to do right now.
Nope.
Is this?
Oh, wait, no, that is it. That is it. Where it says start?
Yeah.
And it has a picture of Evan and Idina. And,
yeah.
Yep, that's it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, oh, because I thought it was other things. Okay, great. So from here, let's maybe... All right, so it's take this personality quiz to find out which Broadway song speaks most to your inner truth.
Oh, I'm so ready.
I'm so scared. I've never done this before. I've never been on this part of it. Okay, what matters most in life? Success, love, being right, making a difference, being seen, me. And by me, I mean Jimmy.
I would normally say being right, but I think I'm going to go with making a difference.
Oh. Oh, no. Ugh. Okay. Which Broadway leading player do you most relate to? SpongeBob SquarePants from SpongeBob SquarePants the Musical? Fosca from Passion, J. Pierpont French from How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, Regina George from Mean Girls, Timon from Once on This Island, or Mama Rose from Gypsy.
Oh, definitely Mama Rose.
All right. What is/was your favorite subject in school? Math, English, government, choir, drama, or science?
Choir. I was a nerd.
All right. Pick a social media platform. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, LinkedIn, Tumblr.
Facebook.
What's your favorite movie snack? Popcorn, Butterfingers, gummy bears, soda, nachos, Raisinets. Why is soda like, you can only have soda
snack.
By your... Yeah.
Popcorn.
Yeah, oh, duh. All right. Ooh. Sondheim or Lloyd Webber?
Ooh, Sondheim.
Correct. new musical or revival?
Let's do a new musical.
Jimmy or Jeffrey?
Jimmy.
Yeah, you win. You win the quiz. In what format do you prefer your cast recordings? CD, digital files, streaming, vinyl, or cassette tape?
Digital files. That way it's on my computer.
Great. Sunrise or sunset? Sunrise or sunset. That way to do that, but that's good.
Sunrise, sunset. Let's do sunset.
Choose a Broadway theater. I love this. Neil Simon, Booth, Broadway, Helen Hayes, Vivian Beaumont, Circle and Square.
Oh, I do like the Circle and the Square Theater.
All right. Oh, your show tune is Waving Through a Window from Dear Evan Hansen. You must see yourself as an outsider because the show tune that best describes you is Waving Through a Window from Dear Evan Hansen. You march to the beat of your own drum, and much like Dear Evan Hansen, sometimes that makes you feel isolated. Lucky for you, it turns out that being different is way more powerful than disappearing into the crowd.
There we go.
Yeah.
Waving through a window. Awesome.
That's who you are.
That's who I am. That's the show tune that best describes me.
Outside loner, definitely.
Yep, definitely me.
Yeah. But you're not an outside loner with me.
Aw, thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Okay, Jimmy, where can people find you on social media this upcoming year?
They can find me where you can always find me on Twitter at @Jimmy_Robertson and Instagram at @JimmyRobertson.
And you can find me at JMHumphrey1 on all of the things. Friends, we are going to be at BroadwayCon.
We're
going to
be at BroadwayCon.
So if you're listening to this now, that's in 11 days. Ish, and we will be there at 1:45. Check your BroadwayCon schedule to find the exact room. And for those friends who can't join us at BroadwayCon, we will be uploading the live episode that we will be recording there. We're going to have two amazing guests, Amy Jo Jackson and Gilbert Bailey II. Amy Jo Jackson is the dialect coach for Kinky Boots, and she's also an amazing cabaret performer and regional performer. And Gilbert Bailey II is currently in the production of Clueless with Dev Cameron down at the New Group.
And we're just going to ask them how they think about me. Like, do they like me? Do they think I'm cool? You know, that's what's really going to – it's not. I'm sorry.
No, we're going to talk all things Broadway.
We're going to talk all things Broadway. It's BroadwayCon, all right?
BroadwayCon. And if you are super into what we're doing, make sure that you go on and rate and review us on iTunes. We will pair a username with any reviews that we get on iTunes. And we'll also donate $1 towards fire relief in Napa Valley, which they could definitely still use. Anything else, Jimmy?
I just quickly went through this quiz myself. And yes. Epiphany from Sweeney Todd is my answer. And it says, it might just be time to think about anger management because the show tune that best describes you is Epiphany from Sweeney Todd. You focus on what's wrong in the world and how that unfairly impacts your life, which is bound to make anyone mad. Deep breaths and stay away from sharp objects. So that's my New Year's resolution. Deep breaths and stay away from sharp objects. What's yours?
Mine is apparently not to be such an outsider.
Yeah, you got to be better.
More inclusive.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Happy New Year, Jimmy.
Happy New Year, Jessica.
Happy New Year, friends and moms.
Happy New Year, friends and moms.
Bye.
Bye. Can't wait to see you again.
The more I feel convinced of the fact, New York's the town for me. Its crazy skyline is right in my line, and when I'm far away, I'm able to bear it for several hours. Then I break down and say, take me back to Manhattan, take me back to New York. I'm just longing to see once more.